Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And, well, we were supposed to have had David Rothkopf today talking about his book, Running the World. And it's the story of the National Security Council and which really has run this country since it was established back in 1947, but our guest isn't there. So we're going to have open lines and look forward to your calls on a subject that you would like. But we actually had taken, this book's about those 800 or 900 pages. It's a long, long book, written by a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, who over and over and over and over stresses there is no conspiracy. Oh, there's the Council on Foreign Relations, but this isn't a conspiracy, and the Trilateral Commission isn't a conspiracy, and the Bilderbergers isn't a conspiracy. And, well, we could look at it superficially and say most of the people in these organizations are not conspirators, but they go to the same meetings, and they discuss the same issues, and they all think the same way. That's, of course, true to the Council on Foreign Relations, and certainly even to the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission. I'm sure that many of these people are just the ruling elite who rule the world. But within all of these organizations are people who know what this is all about. The Council on Foreign Relations is a front for a secret society, which was a conspiracy. It was organized in 1891 by Cecil Rhodes and Lord Milner and a man named Brett and a man named William Stead. How do we know a secret society was actually organized? Why? Because William Stead wrote about it in his diary, and he wrote about it in a book called The Last Will and Testament of Cecil John Rhodes, and he wrote about it in the other things he wrote. Some of the articles he wrote for reviews talked about the secret society that had been established to rule the world. And that was the purpose, and we have Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith, where he talks about bringing all the nations of the world under the control of Great Britain, and, of course, bringing United States and Great Britain back together. So we know that the Council on Foreign Relations was formed in 1921, according to Professor Quigley on page 952, 951, and 952 of his book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. We know that the secret society was manifest here in the United States in 1921 as a front group for J.P. Morgan interests and for the Round Table Group, which was the front for Cecil Rhodes Secret Society. Now, you can read Professor Quigley's writings. I believe they're correct for a number of reasons. One is because no sooner was the book, Tragedy and Hope, The History of the World in Our Time, published back in 1966, then someone bought up the publisher and destroyed the place of the first half of the book, so it couldn't be republished, and then lied to Professor Quigley about that over a period of some years. How do I know that's true? Because I have an interview that that Professor Quigley did with a reporter from the Washington Post, and I purchased the right to reduplicate that from Professor Quigley's wife, and we've certainly put out an awful lot of copies of that through the year. We'll actually hear Professor Quigley talking about how his book was actively suppressed. And remember, Professor Quigley was the left-wing professor who had taught it at Harvard, and it taught it at Princeton before he went to Georgetown University, where he became the mentor of William Jefferson Clinton, and explain to him who rules the world and, of course, what was really going on in society. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment. We do not have a regularly scheduled guest, so it's going to be just you and me. We would love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, And I would like to tell you we're going to have a fascinating program this hour, but unfortunately our regularly scheduled guest, David Rothskopf, who is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and has worked very, very closely with the elite group that controls American foreign policy, is not available at all. And I don't know whether that's because there was a mistake in scheduling or because he had actually looked at our website and felt we would be impolite to him. Of course, we would not. We would really want to hear his view of this small group of people who control America's foreign policy. And as he points out in his book, there have been 16 directors of the National Security Council, because this is the group that really controls the foreign policy of the United States. And according to David Rothkopf, of those 16 foreign policy advisors, 13 of them had all worked for Henry Kissinger or had worked for somebody who had worked for Henry Kissinger. So you have a great deal of incestual relationship between these people who have determined America's foreign policy. And since 1947 has led us from crisis to crisis to crisis. But what people must understand is that their ultimate goal is a one-world government. And Mr. Rothkopf makes the point in his book that it took two world wars to get the American people away from these ideas of isolationism to be willing to accept this idea of a global community or of a world order. And that's really what it is all about today. There are people who control both political parties, and their people are always in and controlling the National Security Council. And their purpose, of course, is to do away with America's national sovereignty. And until people understand that, they can't understand why we are not trying to enforce the laws dealing with globalization, why we're allowing immigrants to come into this country, why are we rewarding the immigrants who do come into this country. They can get free health care at our hospitals. They can get free education for their children. They can certainly get even benefits as far as purchasing houses, and a lot of illegal immigrants are actually purchasing houses in the United States. You can get yourself subsidized if you want to go to, a university or college here in the state of California, and you will get far cheaper tuition than if you were an American citizen from the state of Nevada. In other words, we're doing everything we can to encourage people to come in here illegally, and our leaders know exactly what they're doing. The one thing is they do not want the American people to know what they're doing. Because, of course, they really don't want to destroy America. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our regularly scheduled guest is Mr. David Rothkopf, who had written the book entitled Ruling the World, or Running the World was the title, The Inside Story of the National Security Council and the Architects of American Power. And, of course, what he neglects to say is that almost all of these people come from the Council on Foreign Relations. The book is recommended by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who comes from the Council on Foreign Relations, by Sandy Berger, who comes from the Council on Foreign Relations. And as you read all the people who tell you what a wonderful book this is, people like General Wesley Clark from the Council on Foreign Relations, Robert M. Gates, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, I believe from the Council on Foreign Relations, and you go down the list of the people. The only person who recommended the book who is not part of the Council on Foreign Relations was Richard Clark, and who knows, they may have brought him in as well. But you have to understand that there is a small group, and whether the Democrats or the Republicans are in power, this same foreign policy always continues. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we would welcome your calls because we have absolutely nothing prepared. We were planning and looking forward to our interview with our regularly prepared guest, who for one reason or another just doesn't seem to be available. But I think it's so important to understand that America's foreign policy is unresponsive to the American citizens. The American citizens don't want globalization. And in fact, probably 80% to 90% of the American people did not want the CAFTA agreement passed. But the people in positions of power who control both political parties wanted it passed. And according to Congressman Ron Paul, they spent in the neighborhood of $50 billion to buy the votes of the congressmen to pass CAFTA. What is CAFTA really all about? Well, they tell you it's about free trade, but of course you don't need a 1,000-page document to bring free trade. It is about controlled trade. It is about giving up our national sovereignty. It is about the Codex Alimentarius, which of course was one of the things, one of the captions in there that we would go in and agree to Codex Alimentarius, and down the line this will be enforced to restrict our access to healthcare products and vitamins and minerals, and really to bring everything from that we buy dealing with health under the control of an international organization. Well, right now we've got Jim calling in from Virginia. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Well, I would be doing fine if my regularly scheduled guest had been here, but he was supposed to have been here, and he suddenly isn't available. We have his... go ahead, tell us about anything you'd like to talk about. Do you have a question or comment?
I ran into something the other day, and it was on Genesis that they had a guest, and he was talking about a very interesting diet for health, which was called the high oxalic acid diet, which he was proposing would cure cancer and clean out arteries and move calcium out of joints for arthritics and so forth. Have you had any experience with that?
Tell us, what does the diet involve?
Eating high oxalic acid foods, carrot juice being the mainstay, Haynes natural carrot juice, and you drink 12 ounces a day until you start to get a little kidney pain from irritation, and then you back it off to about half and maintain that.
There are a lot of people who have been advocating a carrot diet for a long period of time, and there are a lot of people who drink so much carrot juice that their eyes begin to get yellow from that. They get carotemia. And there are probably some things that could be said that might suggest that certainly taking in a lot of carrot juice would be a good thing for you, but to be on exclusive carrot juice, I think, is perhaps going a little extreme. I think that there's nothing wrong with a vegetarian diet. Certainly you probably live a little bit longer than you would otherwise. On the other hand, you may feel like you're living an awful long time. An awful lot of people do enjoy a good steak on occasion or other things. I think if I had cancer, I might very well go onto one of those diets, but for ordinary circumstances, unless I had an illness or chronic fatigue syndrome or diabetes, I certainly would not go on it myself. But I don't object to people going on to this if they want to, because I think there is so much in nutrition that most people don't understand.
Oh, I agree with what you said 100%. I wouldn't change a thing you said.
Well, of course, we carry a wonderful book. It's written by my friend Russell Blaylock. It's entitled Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And it goes into so much of diet and nutrition, the things that we really need to know about. And certainly there are things in our regular diet, like the aspartame and the MSG and the glutamates and the soy products and the milk, which really are very, very dangerous for us.
Yes, I've read both of his books, and I thought they're absolutely wonderful.
Right.
And I've been recommending to everybody I can.
Well, I tell them to give us a call and to get them to us. I think it's a book that every family should have.
Right. I agree. Just back to the oxalic acid diet a moment. I agree. It's really a curative thing. What he's saying is that what most people don't realize is that oxalic acid has blockers. And if you eat the blockers, you're going to do yourself no good. And this may explain a lot of people don't have, good results with the so-called vegetarian diet and the high carrot juice diet. So I thought it was very interesting information.
It may very well. I really can't comment on something I didn't hear.
Right.
All right. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, that's basically it, unless you'd like to hear something that we've run into we've tested a lot of things, and most things we find don't work, but this absolutely worked. It was fantastic.
What was it?
Something called Tetrasil. It's something you can put on your skin, mostly for skin diseases. And we cured a terrible bout of impetigo, both staph and strep, in various forms. We saw the darndest patterns, and nothing would kill it. Nothing.
I see.
Until we got a hold of this Tetrasil, and it polished it off in a matter of days.
All right. Don't know anything about it. It sounds could be interesting, but thanks very much for calling, Jim.
Right, absolutely.
All right. Well, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and Our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so if you have something that you would like to talk about, we'll be glad to talk about that. Otherwise, I will carry on with my monologue talking about the men who rule the world. And of course, they all interlock with international finance and the great corporations and the great central banking interests of the world. And this is also beautifully brought out in Professor Quigley's book. And if you have not yet read Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, let me recommend you get it. It's 1,340 some odd pages, but it has so much information in there, and really it will help you to understand. We hear a lot today, as I read the rhetoric that's been put out by conservative organizations, telling us about the rising threat of communism, the rising threat of Red China, the resurgence of communism in Russia. And these are certainly very, very convincing articles. But people don't ever stop and realize that communism has been funded since its inception by the United States. Communism doesn't work. And certainly it would be a total catastrophe in every country it's ever been tried. Cuba would not be surviving at all now. I mean, the people there live in chronic poverty in Fidel Castro's Cuba, and life there is so intolerable that, people are risking their lives literally every day to escape. You don't hear about many people risking their lives to try to get into Cuba. I've talked to people who've been there and lived there. And it is a horrible society. And it is not simply because we have an embargo on them, because they can certainly buy things from every other country in the world. We have an embargo on Cuba today to try to convince the American people that we are anti-communist. And yet, of course, if somebody tries to escape from Cuba and the Coast Guard can intercept them before they get to our shores, we send them back to be imprisoned and tortured. Isn't that interesting? And nobody ever asks why. Well, we've got Ben calling from Salinas. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Yes, Doctor. Listening with great interest, as I always do to you. You mentioned you were talking communism. Would not the New World Order, if it's according to its vision under certain people, the ruling elite that envision maybe the PNAC group, would not this New World Order be the ultimate in communistic socialism?
Absolutely. But you see, most people imagine that communism and socialism is the redistribution of the wealth and equality. They don't understand communism is really pushed by people of great wealth so they can centralize power in their hands, and it is a return to a feudalistic society. That's what it was in Russia. That is what it is in communist China today. They talk about one thing, they do another, and of course they recruit so many foolish idealists to their cause.
And they take the resources and the wealth of the earth, which they're the upper 10% that own 90% of everything, if you believe statistics. But so they turn this raw wealth into raw power, with which they determine how we little sheep are going to live and die. Note the Codex Alimentaria with the state-of-the-art medical treatments and nutrition today. It is conceived they could extend man's healthy lifespan to about 120, but yet for us, the sheeplings, they want us our life expectancy at 59. They have every idea through the petrochemical pharmaceutical industry and the deprivation of nutrients and treatments to limit our lifespan to 59 while they live to 120. This is a very real plan.
I think you're right. Actually, in Russia today, the average male lives to about 58 years
old. That's what I've heard.
Right. And I believe that this is a social experiment. You see, there's no way that the Social Security and these other systems will work if people live so long. This is why Medicare is going bankrupt. People are living too long. But, of course, there is an easy solution. And that, of course, is by one means or another, to make sure they die off.
And I wanted you to comment, if you would, even if I must leave the line, about Pat Robertson calling for the death of Hugo Chavez. I mean, this is international Satanism, in my opinion. This is not a Christian leader to say such a thing to his flock.
Well, I certainly don't know what he said, but if he said what he is purported to have said, and for our listeners out there, supposedly he suggested that Hugo Chavez be assassinated, if he really did say that, of course, I think it was in very, very poor taste, and certainly doesn't reflect the Christian love which Christians and Christian leaders are supposed to manifest.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless.
God bless America.
Bye-bye.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox, the fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like a corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
In the last 3 years, gold and silver have been quietly attracting the attention of the smart money investor. And that's with no small wonder when you consider that in those last 3 years, gold has risen over 50% and silver has nearly doubled. So, are you in profit yet? You might think so if you bought gold or silver coins in the last 3 years. And true enough, some coins have increased by as much as 70%. So how do you know how much your portfolio has gained or lost? With a quick call to the asset management professionals at Colonial Resources. 1-800-685-4042. Colonial Resources will give you current market quotes on your gold or silver bullion and collector coins. If you're ready to sell, Colonial pays higher prices for your coins than almost anyone in the industry. And if you doubt that, call the company that sold them to you and ask what they'd buy them for, and then call us. To find out where you stand in the rapidly changing precious metals market, call Colonial Resources today, toll free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let's go to Roger calling from Allentown. Hi, Roger. Did you have a question?
Yes. Thanks, Dr. Stan. Yeah, I did have a couple of questions. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to pump out one of your two frequencies a few hours from now, starting 10 p.m., changed a couple weeks back. I guess the one was probably just gratis, and the other is regularly scheduled. That stayed the same. And I did... I don't know if you'd care to. I had an interesting
hat, we do have some other guests. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Okay. Well, your frequency, the one changed from 7.490 down to 7.465.
Thank you so much for mentioning that.
And the other one is still, of course, on 5.835. Starting at 10 p.m. Central Time.
All right, fine. Did you have a question at all?
Yeah, a few back, you sent me over to Federalist number 45, I think it was.
Right.
And I had reread that, and I didn't find that any help at all on the question, might possibly the founders and original intent have been to, for the federal government to limit the takings, eminent domain takings, for any but public use. And
it specifically said the powers of the federal government were to be limited and defined. The powers of the state government were to be unlimited, and matters dealing with life, liberty, and property were to be taken care of there.
Oh, okay. Well, with that clause, I guess, perhaps might well cover it then.
Okay, fine. Look, we've got several other callers, but thanks so very much. And let's go to Elizabeth. If Mike wants to call back from Arizona, right now we have Elizabeth on the line from Maryland. Hi, Elizabeth. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine. And I wanted to just bring up the topic you and I often talk about, and that is this spiritual darkness. I don't believe that man can rely upon any spirit within himself or any humanism or any evolution toward godhood. Things are getting worse and worse, and we see the false shepherds, and we see Matthew 24 possibly shaping up. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, and I think that so many things are coming together as has been foretold. But, you know, I will many times put people on as guests that I might disagree with. That the important thing is to talk to them, and hopefully that something we say may perhaps touch them. Because your religion is really part of the very essence of an individual. And if we hope to help people, we're going to do it more by example. For instance, if you wanted to win over the Arab or the Muslim fanatics, you know, in Guantanamo, you would not be giving them Qurans and mistreating them. You would be giving them Bibles and treating them well. That's how you're going to win people to our cause, not the way we're handling it. And I agree that certainly I may disagree with the guest who tells me we have to look inside for spirituality, but let him have his say. This is what talk radio is all about, and of course you know where I'm coming from.
Yes, Dr. Stan, you're so wise, and you reminded me there of something in my book, Patriots Warning 1, about my late father. He was very much in your mold, and there was a Vietnam veteran who had the local neighborhood petrified. The police wouldn't even go into his home because he had a lot of guns, and he was into drugs, he was growing pot, he was doing all this and that. But my father let him work beside him on his farm, and he was trying to show him, by example, a better way. And when my father died, he stood there and lamented. He said, it won't be the same. It won't be the same. So this example of a Christian life, one that's really submitted to Jesus with sincerity, is what we must all aim for. And we need to encourage each other. I heard Joan Vian on air say that it was very discouraging that nobody called her for materials. And I meant to do it today, but I was under some satanic attacks of my own. I couldn't do it, and I'm going to do it tomorrow because her information is so valuable.
All right, Elizabeth, would you like to just go ahead and perhaps give your website out and your telephone number if people would like to get your books?
Oh, I certainly would. I don't have a website handy with me, but they can write a check for $27 to PFI and mail it to Post Office Box 181, Kutztown, Pennsylvania, 19530, and that gets them the set of both books.
Again, what is the title of the book?
Patriots Warning 1 and 2.
Patriots Warning 1 and 2. So,
and of course, they can get it from Radio Liberty. I urge them to get it from Radio Liberty from
okay.
you.
Well, thank you so much. We do carry the book. That's Patriots Warning 1 and Patriots Warning 2, and by Elizabeth. And thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, well, if you're out there in the listening audience, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we'll have open lines, I guess, for the rest of the hour.
very important book is called AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991. It tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working within organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background to this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Arizona. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I was wondering if you could weigh in on, just as the CFR is kind of a front group for the Royal Institute and the Roundtable and other organizations, J.P. Morgan and a lot of the people in this country have been fronts for the Rothschilds. Morgan was basically... He was literally that. He was an agent for the Rothschilds. Schiff was over here as an agent of the Rothschilds and financed people like the Rockefellers. He financed his oil empire, and he financed the Harrimans, and who's the steel magnate?
Carnegie.
Carnegie. Thank right. you. All these people ultimately are agents for or fronts for the Rothschilds. To speak of Morgan, who when he died had an estate worth about $11 million.
Well, of course, I've heard that many times. I have never been able to verify that. I know my good friend Ed Griffin tells that story in his book. But I think that where we get into trouble with this whole thing is the fact that this then points towards a Jewish conspiracy, which it is not. It's a conspiracy of people who have given themselves over to the dark side, and some of these people are Jewish, but I really believe that they have intentionally pushed them out in front, so that we would be distracted by the idea of anti-Semitism and would not realize the satanic forces behind the movement.
Well, I certainly agree that there was a lot of thought given to how do we discredit people who speak out against the New World Order by labeling them anti-Semitic, and I think, in my own dealings, I've seen that time after time where you can be talking about absolutely nothing that has to do with things Jewish, and they will try to denounce you as anti-Semitic.
And this is why you have to be so careful in how you present this and understand the spiritual component which has energized these evil and wicked people. And, of course, this gets into the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. I found a copy of that in Colonel House's papers back at Yale University, but a different translation that's ordinarily circulated here. And I suspect Colonel House, who himself was not Jewish at all, was involved with the people who wrote this scurrilous document to focus our attention on the wrong enemy, because that's what it's always about.
Well, we don't know whether House was Jewish or not, and...
There is no evidence that I can find. If you read his writings, as I have, and I have gone through his papers, he hated Jews. Okay?
Well, there's been a lot of that. A lot of, like the Morgans, too, reportedly hated Jews.
Well,
obviously, he made his living dealing with Jews. So.
I think, Mike, you're off on the wrong track, because I spent several weeks going through House's papers. I have a copy, a pretty good copy of his diary, which has been very carefully suppressed since then. It was released, actually, for distribution in about 1970, immediately bought up by Time Warner and copyrighted so it couldn't be published by anybody else, and then they never would copyright it. I wonder why. So
well,
I think
Myron Fagan, the Jewish.
I know. Well, of course, but Myron Fagan was an anti-Semite. Thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Ken calling from Seal Beach. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello. I ran into an organization I think you might find interesting. I bought a book on the Masons, and in the book there was a card that fell out of the book, and it was from an organization called Temple of the Golden Dawn.
Right.
And I called the number on there, and I asked them why they were putting their cards in various books, and they said, well, that's how they do their advertising. First of all, I don't think that's a good way to do advertising. I don't think it's right for them to go to bookstores and do that.
Well, now, is this the Temple of the Golden Dawn? Is that the Order of the Golden Dawn?
I thought it was called... Maybe it was the Order of the Golden Dawn. This is about 6 months ago.
The Order's been around for a long time. Actually, okay. Crowley was part of the Order of the Golden Dawn. If this is an offshoot of that or a different organization, I really don't know. But the Order of the Golden Dawn has been around, I think it was in the 1890s or so, but Crowley was involved with it. And he got into trouble because he admitted some of their secrets.
Well, I believe it was the Temple of the Golden Dawn. I'll tell you why. I called them up and I said, what kind of an organization are you? And they said, oh, well, we follow two people, Madame Blavatsky and Alice Bailey. Those are the heroes of this particular group.
All right.
And they teach, of course, metaphysics and the occult sciences. And he specifically said that we go back to the ancient wisdom of Sumer. And, of course, the Sumerians, of course, goes back 5,000-6,000 years. And so basically... I got the impression that they were just another one of these groups that has been around a while, and I think that they're pretty devious, and it is amazing how one runs into these people.
Well, if they infiltrate every aspect of our society, you see, this is the problem, Ken. They are certainly working within the Masons. They're working within our government. They're working with the Council on Foreign Relations. If you look at our last 12 presidents, 11 of them have been, in one way or another, involved with one of the secret societies. 6 of them were Masons, or very closely associated with Masonry. 2 were from the Skull and Bones. And all the rest were CFR members, and some of them had dual membership, like Assembly Gerald Ford. He was a real joiner. But there's only one president, and the last 12 presidents, including the present one, who did not come from one of the secret societies or occult organizations. And you remember what happened to John Kennedy.
Right.
So I think it's fascinating that the Temple of the Golden Dawn will admit that they are into the ancient wisdom. And this is a common phrase. They talk about the masters of wisdom, the ancient wisdom, and of course they talk about the masters. Did they talk at all about that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They even mentioned the word the hierarchy.
Right.
How the hierarchy contacts humanity. So obviously this is not a good organization.
Well, of course, have you read my latest newsletter, which was the June newsletter, I should say, the latest newsletter on war and rumors of war, but the one before that was called The Occult Hierarchy Part 2, where we talked about the Masters of Wisdom, the Ancients of Wisdom, and these are supposedly people who have perfected themselves and gone into the other dimension, and yet they will come back to help folks here. Now, I don't really believe this. I believe that these are demonic spirits. But many people are in contact with them. And this is, of course, what you contact as you begin getting deeper and deeper into that. And as the witch wrote to me and said, oh, you shouldn't criticize witches. We're good people. All we want to do is put together our spells and incantations so we can contact the beings from another dimension. Well, we cover a lot of that in my June newsletter. If you haven't got it, why, you can certainly pull it down off the Internet at radioliberty.com. But I think we'll give you, of course, you already know these things, but the average person out there really has a very hard time believing there is a spiritual dimension, and there are people who are in contact with these demonic beings, and that there really are people who worship Satan. But if you understand that Satan gives us total freedom, he doesn't have all those restrictions put on us like God, the God of the Bible, who says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife and the other things, you know. But of course, if you embrace their religion, then you have moral anarchy, and that's where we are today. That is what we're teaching our kids in our schools today.
Sure. I agree completely. Thank you.
Anything else you want to say?
I think that's it.
All right. Well, then, that can's gone. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And a caller had asked if Pat Robertson was involved in any of the establishment organizations like the Council on Foreign Relations or the Brotherhood of Darkness. To my knowledge, Pat Robertson is not involved in any of those. I think that he certainly, I've heard him speak out on the dangers of Masonry. I think that was a very courageous thing to do. But I also think that he has perhaps on one or two occasions compromised his principles in an effort of going along to get along. I remember when the World Trade Organization was being enacted, and Pat Robertson, it was the very next day, was going, the vote was going to go before the Senate, and Pat was asked, I think it was the gentleman who was there on his program at that time, Ben, who really a very very nice person, was with him for many years, and he asked him, Pat, you know, what do you think of the World Trade Organization? And Pat ordinarily would look directly into the camera as if he was looking right into your eyes, and ordinarily that's how he would give his dissertations. And on this occasion, he looked down at the floor. And he said, and he sort of half mumbled, well, we ought to go ahead and pass it in, and we got to get on with it. And Ben Kitslow said, why would you want to do that? That's terrible. And Pat reiterated, oh, we got to get along with it. And I think pressure had been brought to bear on him, and he'd compromised his principles. And as he told a friend of mine afterwards, you know, when you've got a $65 million corporation, sometimes you can't do exactly what you'd like to do. I think that was a terrible mistake. I think that sometimes, you know, what you've just got to do what you think is morally right, and I think that he knew that this whole idea of globalization, this whole idea of the World Trade Organization and NAFTA and CAFTA were simply part of this whole move for globalization. So I think he has made some compromises, and I'm afraid we're all imperfect, and I know I'm imperfect, but nobody has ever put me in a position where I had to actually take a position exactly the opposite from what I really believed. I hope if it ever does come down to that, I will do what's right. So if you're out there, you have any other questions or comments, our telephone is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But I will tell you that I think Pat Robertson has done a lot of good. I think he's reached a lot of people. Certainly I think that I will always respect him for having the courage to put out several excellent programs on the dangers of Masonry. And that took a lot of credit. You do not hear that from many Christian ministries in this country. So he will certainly get my undying gratitude for having had the courage to speak out on one of the most dangerous organizations in America today. Not that the average Mason is a bad person. They just do not understand the significance of the oaths they've taken and their promise to search for the light, not realizing that the light they are searching for is Lucifer. And for those of you who have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, I hope that you'll get a copy of it and read it. Why is it important? Because it simply quotes extensively from Albert Pike's book, Morals and Dogma, which was almost the Bible for Masons up until about 1974. It was written in 1872, as I recall. And, you know, it was given to every Mason who went to the 14th degree up until the early 1970s. It was replaced then by The Bridge to the Light by Rex Hutchinson, because by that time they had dumbed down our population so much that the average individual could not really read it and understand what Robertson was saying. But in that book, and we simply give you the pages and references, in the book Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike says, we are intentionally misleading the Mason. We are telling him one thing because he is not worthy of knowing the truth. And he says this actually on two occasions in this book. Why anybody would belong to an organization where one of the founders stated, we are intentionally misleading you, I do not know. But I think that there is almost a spiritual blindness that comes over people as they enter this secret society, and of course they do this in a very vulnerable position, wearing a blindfold and a noose around their neck and their chest bared, and I think it's their left pant leg rolled up, and then they make all these absurd promises, like they promise, you know, if they ever reveal a secret of the lodge to be have their tongue cut out and be buried in the sands of the sea up to the level of their neck at low tide. So, of course, when the high tide comes in, why, that's the end of you. But, why would any adult logical individual do that? But one of the things they're asked during each one of the first three ceremonies as they become Master Masons is, what do you search for? And they say, the light. They're told to say the light. That would be the last thing that they would have thought of. But, of course, the light that they're searching for, without their knowledge at all, is Lucifer. Just as every Mason who has ever gone to a Masonic funeral knows that Masons are told that they seek to stand before the great white throne of judgment when they die. But because most Masons are so involved with Masonic lore, they never bother to read the Holy Scripture and learn that the great white throne of judgment is not where Christians go. That is not the place where people who are going to be redeemed and go to heaven go. The great white throne of judgment is the judgment of the damned. Then you look that up in your concordance and for your Bible, preferably the King James Version, and you'll find the great white throne of judgment that the Mason believes he's going to go to is the judgment of the damned. It's all there. This is a very real spiritual battle. And neither the Mason or even most Christians understand what it's about. Well, we've got Keith calling from Michigan. Hi, Keith. How are you doing?
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's almost 8 p.m. here in Michigan. I'm doing good. I'd like to read off of page 842 off of Morals and Dogma for
you. Okay.
And it says here, the word verity means truth. It says, there is an incontestable verity. There is an infallible method of knowing this verity. And by the knowledge of it, those who accept it as a rule may give their will a sovereign power that will make them the masters of all inferior things and of all errant spirits. That is to say, will make them arbiters and kings of the world. Now, that's in the 32nd chapter of this book that has 33 in it, I believe.
No, there's only 32. That's as far as it takes you. But that's the last. That is the last degree, the 32nd degree. Have you noticed the picture at the beginning of that chapter?
No, I haven't.
What Actually, is it? If you go to the very... Do you have the book there before you?
I have it right in front of me. Yes, it's got two scales with an arch above it.
It's got what?
It's got a set of scales with a knife above it and an arch that says, Justita Equitas.
That must be a different version than that I have in my the copy of Morals and Dogma. I have several of them.
It actually says 31, not 32.
All right, fine. Then you go to 32, and as you go to 32, you'll find a picture. And there it is, there is a man and a woman. They're combined. There's one body, but there's two heads. One's obviously a man, the other's obviously a woman. Then there are a number of stars, and they're all inverted stars. They're the inverted pentagrams with a point down. And, of course, that's a satanic star. Notice what the people are standing on?
Yeah, it looks like a globe.
But what's lying over the top
like
of the?
Standing on the dragon. I'm sorry.
Standing on the dragon that overlies the globe. So the serpent dominates or overlies the globe, and these people are standing on the serpent. That's the basis of their belief.
And they, if they believe it, it must be true, right?
No, I'm afraid that they're being satanically deceived.
Yeah, I know.
Anything else you want to say? We're just about out of time.
Well, I've actually got two photographs here that I received off the internet. One of them's of President Truman in his full Masonic garb, and the other one's right next to him, Aleister Crowley, in just about the same thing.
Well, there's birds of a feather. Anyway, thanks very much for calling, Keith.
Okay.
Bye-bye, and God bless.
Bye. God bless you.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, the Rules of Engagement, 2.5 gripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, the Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them
from
coming out.
Are you concerned about your child's
future? Antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable. Through regular sources, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child."